As we begin this morning, I just want to begin by giving an update on some things that have been happening and just to give some information to all of us. But before we do, let's pray as we normally do and ask God to help us this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We pray and we ask that you would give us great grace, Father, to trust in Christ. Father, I pray that as I give updates here and as I speak about the church and meeting together, I pray that you would be honored. I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that Jesus would be lifted up. I pray the gospel would be preached. I pray, Father, that your people would be encouraged. Father, I pray that he would increase, that we all would decrease. Father, in spite of me, I pray that you would work. Father, as my sins, Father, from one perspective are ever before me, but they have been laid upon Christ and my sins have been forgiven. I pray that you would give us grace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach a sermon this morning, more of a pastoral sermon entitled, Three Reasons I Miss the Church at Grace. But before I do, let me give just a bit of an update. Our last meeting together was Sunday, March 8th. My sermon was on the immutability of God from James 1. And though COVID-19 was spreading throughout the world, little did we know that 7 weeks later, we would still be in this same situation. The YMCA is still closed, but we are hopeful that this will change very soon. As an elder body, we have been meeting weekly through Zoom meetings on Wednesday nights to pray for one another, to just get some updates and communicate a bit. We also had a short meeting with both the deacons and the elders a couple weeks ago. And at least for the time being, we've decided that it is the best thing to continue giving our rent to the YMCA. Through the years, we've helped them financially through helping with floors, helping with chairs, helping with after-school youth programs and other things. And we don't have anything on the budget that we have decided to do this year, but we think this is the good thing to do and the right thing to do to continue giving them rent, even while we are not meeting. Now, if this continues for some time, we will certainly revisit that, but in the time being, wanted to just let you know that that's what we're doing. Also, as you may have heard, the AMP meeting in Turkey has been canceled this year for July. Gil is working on getting a refund, and we will keep you informed about next year's meeting, as we certainly will keep that event on the calendar for next year. Concerning the second part of that trip, though, those who are supposed to travel to Istanbul, it hasn't been officially canceled yet. Personally, I think this is highly likely, but we will keep you informed and let everyone know as soon as possible. On another note, our ladies' prayer group met for the first time this past week using Zoom. I think just a few of them met, but it turned out to be pretty good, and they enjoyed that time together. At least one of our home groups has been doing the same for the past 3 weeks, and we've enjoyed that. I'm not sure how well we've done, but our elders and our home group leaders have certainly been calling and checking on you guys. And none of our folks have contracted the virus, at least that we know. Some of our friends and relatives have. We've sent out periodic prayer requests. Please continue to let us know how we can pray. And any prayer requests that you might have, please send them to me. And also, if you have any questions, as we're not able to see each other face to face as often right now, but if you have any questions, any comments, any thoughts, any words of encouragement, anything at all, just pick up the phone and call one of your elders and just talk to us. We welcome any comments, questions, thoughts, anything that you might have. So please just give us a call. A lot of other things that I could update us on. But let's go ahead and get started this morning with as we turn more towards the Word of God. This morning, I would like to share three reasons I miss the church at Grace. And these are not random reasons, as you will see. These reasons are related. Each one of these reasons is related to a biblical truth about the church, which I will explain. And this is in reference particularly to the church that gathers locally, not to the universal church, but to the local gathering of God's people. So reason number one, I miss the church at Grace. First one is this: I miss all of you as God's people. Now, before we look at that biblically a moment, let me just say, we're still small enough that we all know certain things about one another that we miss. And I'm going to pick on a couple of you that I know don't mind too bad. I miss the way Scott Blackledge dresses in the wintertime, especially. And those shoes, Scott, sometimes you wear, they're just good. And I know you can take this, and you're probably going to get back at me at some point. Same thing goes for Joe. I'm not even going to say anything to you, Joe, because we'll continue making fun of one another. And I know you give back as good as I do, but you seem to be the brunt of some of my joking sometimes from the pulpit. Probably a lot of you are thinking, oh, I should just leave that alone. But anyway, it's fun. I miss that. I miss Olivia's face when I use her in a sermon illustration. And you know what she's doing right now? She's making that same face. Graham family, take a look at her, because she gets it from her mother. Even now, I am laughing at when I think of the Jones girls. Oh, my goodness. They just make me laugh. But, of course, all the kids make me laugh. But they especially just make me laugh. They're so beautiful. I miss the way Sean fixes my microphone so that I can wear it okay. I mean, on and on I could go, and I could picture each and every one of you. Something about you I could mention. I miss you. But I don't simply miss you because of these things. I miss you because you are the people of God. Here, the specific truth about the church is that the people are the church, not particularly the building, not particularly the special place they meet, though we're going to come back to that, and you're going to see how that's going to be necessary. But in essence, the people are the church. Some of you may remember when we first started meeting together, I would often say, thank you for bringing the church to the South Rowan cafeteria, or thank you for bringing the church to the building. Jesus says, I will build my church. He is speaking about a specific group of people. These are the people John saw in Revelation 5, verse 9, as he says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Brothers and sisters, we are those whom Christ has ransomed. We are the recipients of the atoning work of Christ. The blood of Christ has covered our sins. Jesus laid down his life as a substitute sacrifice in our place. As the verse that we just read from Revelation 5 says, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. The Son of God was punished for our crimes. He bore the full penalty for our sins. And as his people, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. This means there is a special union between us. And because of this, not only do I love you, but I miss you when we are not able to meet. Now, I love God's people all over the earth. all over the world, all over the world. Just this past week, I heard from Brother Wambua in Kenya, and I miss him and I love him as he is my brother in Christ. But I don't miss him and love him in exactly the same way I love all of you. Why is this? Because you are the flock of God entrusted to my care, and the same goes for all the elders. You have been entrusted to our care. The Apostle Peter says to the elders of his day and to us today, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Brothers and sisters, I pray this has never been the case, that I have ever exercised oversight by compulsion. But I do this willingly. I couldn't think of anything I would rather do in this life than to be your pastor. And I think I speak for our other elders as well. The Apostle Paul tells the elders in Ephesus, says much the same thing as Peter, but he says, pay careful attention to yourselves. In other words, elders, you practice what you preach. You take care of the doctrine you are teaching. You watch your lives. Then he says, and pay attention to all of the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. There is a special bond between the shepherd and the sheep. Often we see this in Paul's letters as he is separated from those he loves. He says to Timothy, you are my beloved child. He says to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker. To the Philippians, he says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. And I say that to you even during this time by way of application. Stand firm, my beloved. We see this language also with the other New Testament writers. Brothers and sisters, my beloved, I especially feel this during this time that we are not able to see one another weekly. And I long to see your faces. I think that God has taught me so much, even in these past 6 or 7 weeks, about loving the flock than he has in many years, I think. And oh, how I miss you, my brothers and sisters, the people of God. I miss you. You are the church. Now, the second reason I miss the church at Grace. I miss meeting together in a particular place. Now here, my emphasis is on the assembly of God's people. The church of God is a people that meets regularly, a people that assembles. Hebrews 10:25, we get a command. Not to forsake the gathering together of God's people. Why? Well, there are a lot of reasons that I won't mention this morning, but I want to emphasize that the Bible is very clear about this. Church is a people that meets together in a particular place. In this way, the church is an assembly. Now, keep that thought for a moment as I want to move and give some explanation about the nature of the church as a people that assembles. So keep that thought for a moment. Let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning of the New Testament. It's interesting that when Jesus begins his public ministry, what does he mostly speak about? Do you remember? Well, some of the first words that we hear from him are this: repent, for the what? The kingdom of God is at hand. That's Mark 1:15. He tells us in Matthew 5:3 about those who will receive the kingdom. He tells his followers to pray for the kingdom, to seek the kingdom, to proclaim the kingdom. He demonstrates the power of the kingdom when he binds the satanic strongman. He promises to reveal the secrets of the kingdom. And if you think about it, what are most of his parables about? They're about the kingdom, the building of the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom. And so that's the major theme of Christ's teaching. But then, it seems, right in the middle of all this preaching and teaching about the kingdom, that he seems to change gears. Now, he doesn't. I'll explain that in a moment. But he seems to change gears. And all of a sudden, he says to Peter, I will build my church. Therefore, I must ask, is Christ building a kingdom or is he building the church? Now, of course, we must say Christ is doing both. But why in the context of kingdom does he emphasize the building of the church? Don't you find it strange that as he speaks about the great kingdom of God, that he all of a sudden emphasizes the building of the church? Well, as I've noted, Jesus doesn't change the subject with Peter, because after he says to Peter, Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, he also says immediately, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. This means that the church and the kingdom are related. They go hand in hand. Now, think for a moment back to our first truth. Why I miss the people of God? It's because the church is the people. You are the people of God. We are the people of God. Well, why doesn't Jesus say, I will build my people? Because people is a different word in the Greek than church. Very different. Jesus says, I will build my church. Well, the Greek word is ekklesia. You may have heard it before. And its meaning is very specific. It literally means those who are called out, the called out ones of God. But if you do a little bit of studying and thinking about this culturally in Jesus' time and before, the meaning goes much deeper. And when the people of Jesus' day heard the word ekklesia, they would not have been mistaken. Now, of course, he spoke in Aramaic and it was translated into Greek, but it would have been a very common word to them. In the Greek and Roman world, ekklesia meant assembly. 500 years before Jesus, this was a very popular word, and it was primarily a political word. In every city, the citizens would come together as a particular assembly in order to have meetings or to vote or to debate or to discuss government business. So these were meetings, specific meetings of people, maybe weekly, monthly, whenever these times, people would come together in the city in a particular place, and they were the ecclesia. They would have known exactly what Jesus, at least they would have heard this, or thought this when Jesus used this word. Now, Jonathan Lehman explains it this way. If you had said to Aristotle, who lived 500 years before Jesus, if you would have said to Aristotle, the ecclesia is a people, not a place, right? Well, he would have then looked at you in a strange cockeyed way and said, the people are the people. The people are a people. And to be an ecclesia, they have to gather in a place. And so ecclesia is tied to a place. The people had to gather together in a place in order to be an assembly, ecclesia. So when the ecclesia no longer gathered, they could not be called an ecclesia, because you couldn't have it without the gathering of God's people. And again, we can trace this meaning to Jesus' time as well. Now, Keep that in mind as we come back to our truth. The word in English is church. And I hope you can see how we might miss some of the meaning of the word when we translate it from ecclesia to church. This word means so much more than just the people that gathers, but it certainly does not mean less. This means we are the people of God that assembles. From this perspective, if you take away the regular assembly of God's called out ones, God's people, you take away the church. That's what we do. We gather in a place as the church. For this reason, I miss the assembly of God. By the Spirit of God, this truth is hardwired into me and into you as God's people. And now, more than ever, I am longing to meet with all of you, my beloved. And I know that you feel the same. Zoom meetings are okay, but they are not the same. With this in mind, I must remind us that phone calls, computer meetings, listening to good sermons, even gathering with our families who are also Christians, it's not the same as what we do when we gather together specifically on Sundays. Because this is God's design for his people. That is what we do. That is what the ecclesia, the church, does. We are the church. We are the people. We are the people that gathers. Why do you think in places all over the world throughout history, for example, many places in China today, or Turkmenistan, or certain Muslim countries, it is illegal to have gatherings of Christians? Why? Because Satan knows if you take away the gathering, you take away the church. But don't be alarmed. God's people will always gather, no matter what the world says. They will gather in homes. They will gather in caves. They will gather underground. They will gather. For Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, let me be clear about where I stand in this current crisis concerning our gatherings. I do not believe the restrictions placed on churches is just for us. Our entire culture is being affected. Christians and non-Christians alike are in the same boat. And for now, we are being good citizens. And we will continue to subject ourselves to our civil authorities and for the love of our neighbor, even if they are wrong. We are okay for a time. We will leave the timing into God's hands and take things week by week. And beloved, brothers and sisters, those who have the Spirit of God, week by week in which we do not meet, we will grow in our longing for our assembly. Now, let's just say for a moment that it would become illegal permanently. Though I do not believe this is permanent at all. But let's say that it became illegal all of a sudden for the church to gather. Well, this would be one of those times we must disobey. And Christians are doing this all over the world. But hopefully we will not have to cross that bridge in this country. We must still pray as Paul prayed. And he instructed Timothy to pray. Listen to this. When he talks about praying for your government, here's what he says. First of all, then I urge that supplications and prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and those who are in high positions. Here's what he prays for them, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. He was saying, in a cultural situation much worse than what we have today, he was saying, pray for them, that they would leave us alone and let us worship and let us be and let us live quiet and peaceful and godly and dignified lives in every way. This is good, he tells them, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved. Speaking in the context of kings and those in authority, desires all of them to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. This in mind, therefore, brothers and sisters, by way of application, this is how we must pray for our authorities now. I could go on there, but let's move on to the third and final reason this morning that I miss the church at Grace. I miss what we do together. The church is a people. The church is a people that gathers in a particular place. And this truth, for the reason that I miss what we do together, the church is a people that gathers with a purpose. Think back to my previous thoughts on the kingdom and the church. Remember, I ask this question. Why does Jesus introduce this word church into his teaching about the kingdom? Why does Jesus use such a political word to describe the people of God and what they do? It is because, as the church, the gathering of God's people, we do the business of the kingdom. We could say, the church is the means to the building of the kingdom. This is why kingdom and church go hand in hand. We represent the king and we are citizens of the kingdom. This means that everything we do together as a church proclaims our king and his kingdom. And this I miss. Let me give an illustration. Think about an embassy. I remember when we lived in Russia as foreigners, no matter how well I spoke or understood local culture or language, how many years we lived there, I was always an outsider. Our family was always, we were always outsiders. We were foreigners. But every few years, someone in our families, someone's passport in our family would expire or run out of extra pages in the back. And so here's what we did. We'd get all excited and we would take the overnight train to Moscow and we would head to the United States Embassy. There was always a line, many lines, in fact, all a huge complex, lines everywhere. But you know what? No lines for U.S. citizens. All the foreigners were in different lines, but there was always one door for U.S. citizens. And no one else could go through that door, just the U.S. citizen with the U.S. passport. And when you walked through those doors, it was as if you had left Russia and entered the United States of America. Everyone spoke English. Everyone welcomed you. Everyone was helpful. Why? Because that was the United States Embassy. That particular place was American property or American soil, we might say. It certainly felt like that. Everything in it rang of American culture. And every American embassy all over the world in all of these foreign places and foreign lands is like this. Why? Because each embassy is an outpost, a geographical outpost, a little piece of property, a little piece of geography that is American. And the purpose of the embassy is to do the business of America for Americans. So if we think about that illustration, in the same kind of way, each local church is a little piece of geography, heavenly geography, filled with the subjects of the king and his kingdom. As I walked through the doors of the Russian embassy, found myself in what felt like America. The same kind of way when we meet with God's people and do what we do in our gatherings, what do? We do the business of the king and his kingdom. We are God's geographical outpost to proclaim his glory. And yes, even during this time when we are not meeting, we can all still do the business of the King. We can lead our family in worship. We can evangelize our neighbors. We can do unto others as we would have them do to us. Many other things that we can do, but we miss what we do together when we gather. I miss the preaching and teaching of God's word. I miss the singing of hymns and psalms and spiritual songs as we raise our voices and our hearts to worship the King together as God's people. I miss our prayers as we approach the throne of grace together in our assembly. I miss the giving of our resources one to another. I miss using my spiritual gift in the edification of the body, and so do you. I miss taking the Lord's Supper together, which is the most visible thing that we do as a church. Now, just to make mention of that, I hope it's evident to you why we have not chosen to take the Lord's Supper together virtually or with our families. I believe strongly that we must wait until we come together again as a body, as an assembly. But about these things, my heart longs to do these things with all of you together. I miss you. I miss gathering with you at the YMCA, and I miss what we do together. And the longing grows with every passing day. Therefore, let these words and truths sink in this morning as we long for one another. In the meantime, brothers and sisters, continue to spend daily time in the Word. I've used this time, and I should be doing this all along, and I have from time to time, but it's been a good time to memorize. I'm up to Romans chapter 8, trying to memorize that. I've got a little contest going on with Emily, but up to verse 17. And boy, has it been good for my soul to meditate on those verses every day. I would urge you to do these things. Families, continue doing family worship. We haven't made it every day, I must confess, but we've got most days. Continue to join on Sunday mornings to listen to the sermon. Adam, what a great job you did last week and how it blessed our hearts as we listened. But I would encourage you, continue to listen, knowing that when I preach this and I do this, I don't preach to other Christians. Though some may listen, that's fine. But I preach to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, and I preach for you. At the same time, continue to listen to other sermons. I think I've listened to many, who knows how many, since all of this began. What a blessing it has been to hear from other peoples, but I encourage you to continue listening together on Sundays. And as always, look unto Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith. All God's blessings are found in Him, no matter what is going on around us. God's blessings are found in Christ. And I pray that Christ would be more beautiful to you every single day, and the blessings of God that come to you in Christ would be more evident and more great and more wonderful and more powerful through the power of the Holy Spirit every single day in your life. And I pray and ask that you would do the same for the rest of us, and pray the same for me and all of us. And I would urge you as well to press on. Press on, brothers and sisters, until we meet again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had this morning. Thank you for these words. Thank you, Father, for the truths that have been shared from your word. I pray that if anything has been said that is not from you, please let us forget it. Those things which are from you, may they go down deep into our souls, and may we receive them by the Spirit. That Christ might be lifted up, that He might be more beautiful, that He might be proclaimed in our families, in the church, in the world. Father, just take the day. Use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Row Inn YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.